What's up, guys? Feletti Saitafo here, Turbo 1706, new Moana Pacifica player, and you're tuning into the Hurt Locker.
Driving forward, I reckon he's there. Feletti Saitafo. Trying to break through, Tom frees the pass, oh, looking for two. Feletti Saitafo. And that is just what they needed early in the second half. And it is away. Oh, could he have three? He might do. He's on the line.
Before we start, we'd just like to thank our communications sponsor, Freedom Internet. Locally owned and operated, Freedom Internet delivers secure residential, short stay, and commercial fiber internet services. Now ask yourself, when was the last time you updated the security on your in-home router? Don't worry, because Freedom Internet will do it for you, keeping you and your family's online experiences safe and fast. Freedom Internet, connecting people and building community. Sign up today at freedominternet.co.nz. 2 weeks ago, we saw a hat-trick against the top-heavy leaderboard player, the Waratahs, but what others closer to the man see was the fruits of hard work and labor, working when nobody was watching and working when only those in his inner circle believed. In his IG highlights, he highlights a key scripture in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, to God be the glory. And through his name, we've seen the man thrive in his new mission as he paves the way with the Moana Pacifica brothers. From Palmy boys to now, he's worked tirelessly for every moment, and there's no one more deserving. He practices the dark arts of the scrum and the breakdown. He's my old billet. He's Turbo 1706 and Moana's prop. It's Feletti Saitafo. Oh, Mauso.
What's up, Mauso?
How's it, bro? All good? Good.
Thanks for having me, brother.
No, okay. I can't believe it's your first potty, bro.
Yeah, but I never do this stuff and stuff.
That's crazy. So all you do is just crowd goes wild and stuff. Now he was just too big for this stuff.
Catch me off guard, man.
How's the body, bro? All good?
Nah, body's been good. Yeah. It's good. Getting through the super season. Yeah, it's been good. But body's adjusting to, you know, the new style of footy and how fast the pace is. The lungs are getting used to it, finally.
Yeah. That's crazy, bro. Like, it's just hard. Like, I don't think everyone saw Moana doing as well as they were doing this year. Like, I think the people that understood, I mean, especially with things like when Artie came over and everyone, you know, called it the Artie effect. And then Kyron, he broke it down for us as well when we had him on the potty a couple of weeks ago. And he was saying, ever since everyone stepped out the doors in the early off season, not even the preseason, everyone just believed. And I think the belief just felt a lot stronger in the group than usual. And then in your Crowds Goes Wild interview, the first thing you said is just glory to God and everything you guys do in that aspect. Now, obviously, all the work you guys are doing off the field is helping on. What's it like? What kind of off-field stuff have been working for you, bro, and the team and the boys?
I think off the field, just all the boys connect less as teammates and more as like actual brothers. We always hit each other up or up to in our spare times, connecting at Gava or going to the movies or getting a feed. I think just hanging out, like really getting to know each other. I think it goes a long way in like a team, but it's pretty cool just to go to work with your mates. Pretty surreal feeling, and I think all the boys are pretty blessed to be there. Yo.
Yeah, it's mean, eh? Like, especially watching you guys have obviously two different stadiums, so Navigation Homes and then obviously North Harbour Stadium. Is there any you favour, or does both feel like home to you guys now?
I'd say since my first home game was at North Harbour, just running out, all my family was there, my first home game as well against the Waratahs. That's felt like a pretty homely feeling. It was pretty surreal running out and just being surprised at how many numbers we got and all the fans cheering out. It was pretty cool. Just running out and especially seeing my fams in the crowd. I think just being there in North Harbour Stadium feels like home, man.
So the base for Moana is here, and obviously you're not from Auckland. Where are you from originally, bro? Where'd you grow up?
Palmy, Palmerston North, 102. Born and bred there. Proud of my home, but it's a lot different to the Auckland lifestyle, as you can see. Auckland's busy as, man. Yeah. It's so full on and loud. Being back home, it's pretty chill. It takes I'd say 15 minutes to get from one side of Palmy to the other. And over here, it takes like 15 minutes just to get to the dairy. So like it's been pretty, it's been new, like adjusting to the life here. And bro, like I've been trying to work my best on my time management. But I'd say that's the biggest difference between Palmy. But
It's pretty fast, eh? I mean, when we look back to Palmy, bro, you know what just flashed in my memories? Remember when we were playing, there was a fire.
A fire?
Yo, It was like across the road, we were playing, and then we looked across the road, and there was just a fire. There was like a shop on fire.
Oh, bro, that was probably there's Mitre 10 factory across the road. When I was at school, that was getting set on fire all the time. I don't know what's happening over there.
It must be just that palmy, G. You said you're staying in Devonport, bro. What's it like staying there, especially? I mean, that's a different part, you know. I think especially a lot of if you look at like that area, it's a different area compared to like where all the Pacific are. We kind of all part around our south or central. What's it like living out there?
I'd say it feels pretty close to home because it's like quite small and like pretty quiet neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's not much traffic around there besides down Lake Road, like this one road just to get into Devonport. But once you're in Devonport, when you're driving around, it's pretty quiet. Mm. And I think I've been blessed to like be based in Devonport because like it feels like home, so I can get used to just driving around, chilling. Mm. You know, it's pretty quiet over there. Mm.
Sweet. Let's talk about Palmy then, bro. Like, what was it like growing up in Palmy, like as a young dude?
Well, I reckon it was the best thing that could happen to me, man. I'm pretty grateful of like where I grew up. Like, I'm pretty chill and like quiet guy, so yep. I like the chill life.
Yep.
Like, I could see myself living back in Palmy. After all this is done, just being close to family.
Mate.
It's like real slow. I think just fast life isn't for me.
Yeah.
So it's been like pretty new adjusting to life here in Auckland. But yeah, I think just living in Palmy has been both like a blessing and I think it's been good because everyone's tight, you know? All the boys that I knew from school, I'm still pretty close with them. All over the world, but like we still catch up on our group chats and stuff. So growing up close to my family was good for like the soul and the mental space. And
what about the Pasifika community, bro? Is there much in Palmy? What's it like? Because I don't actually know Palmy too much. I've only come down for footy and kapaka. Other than that, you haven't really been down there. Is there a big Pasifika community down there?
At the time when I was growing up, it felt pretty big.
Yeah.
But coming here, bro, it's pretty tiny.
Well, fair enough.
But like all the Pacific community, you pretty much know everyone in the community, both Tongan and Samoan and all our other cultures and whatnot. But a lot of you meet a lot of people through either church or like social volleyball, sports.
Yeah.
But because I went to Malamala Mamoni, out in Highbury, and I was there for a few years for preschool, Samoan preschool.
Yeah.
And I moved out to my Tongan preschool, Lalangamaui, closer to Calvin Grove where I live. And most of the teachers and adults there, I knew growing up.
Oh, true.
Like when I go back home, they're still there, still working. So it's a lot smaller compared to Auckland, but it's pretty tight knit community, I'd say.
Your family, bro, let's look at your family dynamic. Mum, dad, siblings, all in Palmy as well?
Yeah, they're all in Palmy, back in Palmy. So I'm the only one that's out of home at the moment.
Yeah.
First time moving out of home as well, but I thought it'd be a while till I moved out of home. But all my family, mum and dad still there, older sister, my younger brother Ace, and my two little siblings.
He's carving it up, Ace. I see. So is he playing league? Is that league?
Yeah. So he's playing Union and league, but he had a league tournament.
That at Bruce Pullman?
Yeah, he was playing for the Mustangs. So he's had a lot more interest in league than I did when I was younger. So he's trying to take his options in both sports.
Yeah, solid. Bro, that's the one. What's it like, bro? Like growing up with your siblings, were you all kind of sport orientated, or you all like obviously had church and social volleyball and stuff? What was that like?
Yeah, I'd say we're sport orientated. I didn't grow up liking sports. I grew up like a chubby kid. But I grew up liking my food and my lusipi more than my rugby.
Enough,
so, because my mum and my dad always played sports, and they always enrolled us into sports, encouraged us to get outdoors and active. My sister, she went pretty hard at her volleyball. And then my dad would always try to get us a train together. So I would always get like mad because we'd go for runs and she always beat me.
Man. So she's older, like way older than you? Or?
She's like a few years older than
me. Oh, man.
And she's still jam sports, social volleyball, netball.
Solid.
Obviously I'm on my rugby journey. My little brother is just finding his options in rugby and league, and the We have my baby sister. Yeah. She's a rugby head. Always loves. She loves playing footy on the weekends and coming to all our games, our cousins' games and stuff. But we got my youngest brother. He's more the, on the creative side.
Oh, hey.
So he likes his Roblox, his Legos, drawing. I was like, oh, fair enough. I know how you feel when you're a little chubby kid, but yeah, he's more the creative sibling out of us. Yo,
bro, that's mean. So how many siblings overall? Three.
Four. Five of us. Yeah.
Mean, bro, that's solid. Yeah. That's cool. It's cool having a big family. I'm kind of similar. I've got a pretty big family. Well, I've got three siblings, and you're all similar of age now.
Yeah.
And we're all similar of age as well. And like growing up, especially like the sports and stuff, it's cool, like, because it all just intertwines. Like, get to jam with everyone, and like eventually, did you ever get to jam with Ace?
Nah, we haven't jammed together yet, but because I'm like 7 years older than him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wait. So. I thought he was like year 13 in that, bro.
Nah, so he's year 11 this year.
Oh, what? Yeah. Like, he's massive. Holy.
He's getting, he's like pretty much almost my height. He's getting pretty big, but yeah, that's one of our dreams, me and him, just to at least play one per game together. One, yeah, bro. Pretty proud.
Chuck on that green and white jersey, maybe. Get back over to the NPC. Oh, that's mean, bro. A lot of your content that we see, it highlights a lot because, like, a lot of your captions and then even prior to interviews, you mentioned the man above and a lot of stuff. Mm. Now, do you grow up in church?
Yeah. I grew up in church with my family, but I'd say I didn't really focus on it, like, intentionally.
Yeah.
It was more of a, like, the usual, wake up on Sunday, you got to come to church. But I think over the past few years, I've really tried to take my own walk within my faith rather than someone else trying to like take me on the walk. Just trying to develop my own relationship with God. It was actually Raymond Tupu, the hooker from Canes. He had a good conversation with me just about how I feel about my faith. And that was when we were younger as well. And after that, I felt quite convicted and like, am I doing what the Lord has planned for me? Am I living my life the way that He wants me?
Mm.
And it took me a few years up and down, been on quite a journey. And I think over the past few months, I've been trying to take it more intentionally and go really deep in my relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest drivers, if not the biggest driver, behind why I do what I do.
Mm. And a lot of the team, bro, a lot of the team kind of practice as well?
Yeah. A lot of the boys share the same faith.
Nice.
And that's pretty encouraging. Especially over the last couple of weeks, a lot of the boys are starting to be more open about their faith. And it's encouraging to see. It makes me proud as their mate and as a fellow believer that they're like trying to open up about their faith and go deep in their relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's always a blessing to see you.
Hi, bro. It was out the gate, when we saw Artie in the post-conference, and before everyone leave, he did a local for everyone, Bro, it's crazy seeing something like that. It's just so different, bro. It's crazily different, but it's good to see. When you were young going to church, bro, was it kind of, you touched on that, was it just like the discipline every Sunday, as opposed to actually building your legitimate relationship in regards to, doing, not on Sunday and, reading your Bible verses and doing all that? It was kind of wake up on Sunday and go with mum and dad.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest driver growing up was just my mum telling us to get ready for church. Because I didn't really understand the faith. I just was like born into it. I grew up with it. So I didn't really understand the meaning behind why Jesus done what he done for us.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think there was I always had that faith there just because I grew up with it, but I didn't really go out of my way to find out more about my faith. And I just, it was just the usual wake up, son will go to church. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Can't wait to come home and kongai, eat all the food.
Oh, yes, bro. It just reminded me, kongai every Sunday after church as well. It's so right though, bro. Like, I'm the same. Like, growing up, it was church every Sunday as well. But, it got to the point where it was just like you go every Sunday, and then I want to say maybe around 14, 15, you kind of actually thought, all right, like why am I here?
Yeah.
And, you actually start asking yourself questions. And then that's when you actually, for me, around 14, 15, that's probably when I actually built a proper relationship. Yeah. Now, obviously, I was baptized and stuff a bit earlier than that.
Yeah.
I think it was probably like 12, maybe 12, 13. But yeah, it's interesting, eh? Like once you start maturing and understanding the world, that's also when you start building your relationship with God as well. So it's out of it, eh? Like it's cool as seeing the boys practice it as well. I actually had a guy, like I shared that story to the Hurt Locker, and a random guy replied to the story. And then, random in the sense that I didn't know him, but it's cool to have guys like that message. And he was saying that he wants to see that more often.
Yeah.
Guys like RD, you know, one of the biggest rugby players in the world in New Zealand, doing something like a local after the game. Like, well, there's not many other sports there. You see stuff like that going on there.
Yeah. I think just because in the usual rugby culture, like, you don't really see that often. And I think people were really, like, shy about their faith.
Yeah.
Especially growing up. Like, I never saw people praying for the people in the room on interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing Ard's do it, I was like, bro, like, this is like actually pretty special. Mm-hmm. Like, and leading up to the interview after the Tars game and stuff, I was like, bro, if our leader can do it, like,
everyone can do it.
None of us should be ashamed of our faith. Like, and if it's something that we want to put out there, this is the perfect platform, man.
Yeah,
like, we just got to show everyone like who we are. Like, this is the point of the Moana Pacifica team. Like, it's just to like show our culture and our faith's like the biggest part of our culture. So. Bro, I'm loving it, eh?
Bro, that's mean. Nah, it's good to see. And I'm excited to see where that ends up taking the boys, eh, on their journeys, because everyone's in different stages of their journey. So as it all builds, bro, it's going to be out of it to see how it all comes out. You're growing up in Palmy. When did rugby start for you then, bro?
Rugby started early years because my dad was still playing when I enrolled into primary school. So they started me off at like Ripper.
Back when
they'd done Ripper rugby. I think they do touch rugby now, but back then I was Ripper rugby. But yeah, I just played because my dad said it. He was like, son, you're going to play rugby. I was like, oh, okay.
What posse did dad play?
He was centre wing.
Yeah.
So he was a bit faster than me. So I started like, I think like three to five.
What was your club called?
Marist.
Mate.
Yeah, I was Marist Juniors. And then obviously leading into tackle like under 12s, under 13, still Marist. And then my final year before I moved to high school, Palmy Boys, he moved me to high school Low Boys.
Mm.
Just because he thinks I had a better opportunity of making reps and stuff. And he was right. You know, dad always knows best. But he moved me there, then I made the reps. And then I think, because before that, I didn't even like rugby. Like, I didn't like tackling. I was always the biggest on the team. But bro, I didn't like running. I hated running. I just hated feeling tired. And then it wasn't until he moved into there, and then me and my little brother Ace started watching like rugby highlights, like big bump offs and stuff, big hits, like the thing you always get
Sunny Bill
on
ones.
YouTube, offloads and stuff. And I was like, oh, that actually like it looks fun, like.
Yeah.
And my dad was always telling me like, you're a big boy, you can do this stuff. I was like, oh, okay then. And then I like tried getting more into it, and I was like, I actually like the sport. Like, I'm actually starting to enjoy playing the sport, and he actually started training me that year, like, handies. Like, he started taking, like, whether I wanted to or not after school. On our day off, he'd take me to the field and we'd just run.
How old?
13.
Fuck.
Yeah. But, like, since that, like, I've had my on and off years of training, but, like, I've always had that, like that little, like, driver in my head. And I think it's from my dad just always taking me, like, you got to work. And I was like, when my dad wanted me to start training Ace, my little brother, I always had the expectation of him as well. Just because my dad always pushed me so hard, I think I went kind of overboard with my brother training him.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, you got to do this, you got to do this, whether he complained or not.
Yeah.
And I think, that under 13 year, I really discovered like a love for the sport. I was like, I can probably like do something with this. Mm. And then finished off high school, all boys, done reps, and then went into Palmy Boys,
solid. Going into Palmy Boys, bro, what was it? Do you guys have normal thing like under 14s, under 15s?
Yeah.
And then
the normal,
That's pretty much all normal. Eh? What were you playing? Just normal, what do you call it? Going into first 15, was it like? Did you have any rep teams in the year 9, 10, year 11-ish?
We didn't have any regional rep teams, but we just had the normal like under 14As, the Colts A's, which was the under 15s, and then. After that, you'd be like either 16s or seconds or lucky enough to get into first.
Right.
And so I done under 14s, under 14As, Played there, then moved on to Colts A, under 15s, and then I was like going into my year 11 year, I was trying to train my hardest, show up to all the first 15 like summer trainings.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, my ambition was to like be one of the best in the seconds. Because I saw the props, they were in front of me, like they were my mates as well. Mm. And I thought, like, I was like, oh no, I'm not gonna make it.
Right.
But then they ended up taking opportunities overseas and like in other cities, and then spot opened up in the first 15. So I was lucky enough to get in the first 15 in year 11.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where my journey with serious rugby started. I met one of my mentors, Lefemi Muffy. That was his first year coming back, and he was helping out as a Pacifica Dean, and he was obviously one of the coaches for the first 15. But I think I learned a lot from him as well, like just around discipline, around eating, around what it's like to be Pacifica in a rugby team.
Mm.
Like his biggest message was like, have fun and just be yourself. Like you got all the discipline and like your rugby routines and stuff, but like you play the sport because you find it fun.
Hard.
And I think that was like one of the challenges going on through first 15, just trying to like, because everyone wanted to like make it, but like you can lose the love for the sport doing that as well.
Hard.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, it's crack up, eh? First 15 is the only place where in year 9, year 10, it's like, oh, I just want to get there. I want to get there. Then when you get there, it's just, what's next? I want to get there. I want to get there.
Yeah.
This is a never-ending cycle. Eh? You just always want to make it to the next level. What was like the first, so you have no regional rep teams down in Palmy?
We had under 13s, and then the next one was under 16s.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so yeah, that would have been my first year, first 15. And then at the end of the year, after first 15, just try for the under 16s.
Solid. Oh, yeah. That's mean. Do you have any other friends or family, bro, that are like hearty into sports? Because are you Layla's cousin?
Yeah.
Is that your cousin? Yeah. Holy heck, bro. She's out there. Yeah, as well, bro. Holy moly.
She's a man. She's pretty much like my older sister. I grew up with, because growing up was just me, her, and my older sister.
Yeah.
Until the younger cousins and stuff and Ace came along. But most of the time was just us. So I grew up with pretty much two sisters.
Yeah.
And she was always pretty sporty. And
bro, I didn't put two and two together, eh?
Yeah,
well, it's probably because you got the Dolphu U on your last name.
Yeah.
And so when I, and then when, because she liked the story that I posted of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is the Sai is the last name?
Yeah.
And then I went and then you both had the pictures together. I was like, oh, what the
hell? Yo, bro, people always get put off because of my Dolphu U last name.
Yeah.
They realized that, like, I got a Samoan and Tongan last
name. Yeah. I was trying to figure out you because I was going to put like Sai or Tongan song on your thing. And I was like, is this Sao Tongan? I keep forgetting.
Best of both fields.
Yeah. So you got a bro. It's a sporty ass family, bro. Dad was still playing when you were going through primary and jamming. You got Layla, and then you got Ace, who's jamming now, and all your sisters play volley and stuff, bro. It's crazy. Yeah, you guys. How sporty you guys are.
Yeah, I don't really like realize it just because like we don't like as a family
just
we
normal.
Don't. Yeah, we just like always focus on like family stuff.
Yeah.
And like we're always keen to like hang out and like play board games or whatever, and like sports has just always been there. But like you didn't realize like how much of us actually play sports.
Do you have a key moment, bro, that you remember just like in your younger grades playing where you're like, far, I actually love this game?
I think it would have been playing high school lobbies, playing for high school lobbies with my dad changing to their club. we were playing against Fielding Yellows, and I think my dad gave me a speech before the game because he's giving me like 1,000 speeches. But I think he gave me a speech before the game, and like a few of my family were watching, and I was like, it was probably one of the games where I actually like went hard.
Yeah.
Because before that, I'd say I was pretty beefing. and they had this big fella on the other team playing for Fielding Yellows, and I was like, I don't know what it was because I couldn't figure out what it was either, but I was always trying to line them up. And I came out after the game, and my dad said I played well, but he was like, why can't you do that all the time? I was like, I don't know, eh? I think he just made me angry before the game, talking to me, put me off. But I think that was like one of the turning points. I was like, bro, actually, like, I can do this. I love this game, man.
I mean, sometimes it just takes that little trigger, and then once you find it, just pretty locked in after that. And that's what a dad. That's a pretty dad thing to do. Just find that point. Son.
Give me the old speech.
After the game. bro, what were some of the players you had, bro? Like, you get to first 15 in year 11, you finally get named and stuff like that, and you make the squad. What was it actually like when you figured out you were going to be in the team?
It was pretty cool, eh? Like, it was pretty surprising when I saw the team list and my name on it. And then a few of the boys messaged me. Ruben Love, he actually messaged me saying, just, like, congratulating me on all the hard work and stuff. Like, it's only the start. And I think it was just like an eye-opener, eh? And I was like these guys are pretty good. And I was like, hopefully I can be that good. But I was just inspired by all their hard work, because I'd like come in on off days and they're like walking out of the gym. I was like, oh, what did you get up to? They're like, oh, I just done a gym session. Oh, I just done a row. I'm like, oh, I'm not even doing that. I'm walking to the tuck shop. But I think after just seeing their routine and like all their
work ethics.
Yeah, work ethic behind the doors. That was like, it was pretty inspiring.
Ruben Love. Then we talked about the other guys, the Jaden Keelan. Is that his name? Jaden Keelan. Sevens guy. Who else was there? You got Darius.
Yeah.
With my other bullet. Playing in two blues. Bro, the team was stacked. A stacked team, man. Like Ruben Love as well. He was always big in school as well, because it wasn't just footy, it was cricket as well.
Yeah, he was pretty good at cricket as well.
What were some other boys we were talking about before? Oh, you had the eight who was injured, eh?
Yeah, Tyler Lopsha. He was there.
Yeah.
Raymond Tupu.
Bro, he's solid. He's playing good as well.
Boy, hit man, G.
All right.
Yeah.
Has he always had that hair?
His hair?
Yeah, you guys all have long hair, eh? Yeah. Is this like a Palmy thing or something, bro?
I don't know, eh? I think just the strict rules at Palmy Boys.
Were you not allowed long hair there?
Nah, you're not like true. It's got to be like certain cut. Can't even have, barely any of the boys allowed skin fades, eh?
Yeah.
Bro, once we all left school, we got ridiculous. I was like, I feel free.
So year 11, 12, year 13, bro, what was your first 15 like seasons like? How well did you guys go in your local comp and stuff like that?
I say year 11 went pretty well. We had a pretty stacked team. Year 12, we made it to the Hurricanes knockouts, Hurricanes finals.
Yep.
That was against Hastings, I think. I'd say that was probably one of our best years, closest to top four while I was playing. And then
Hastings got you in that one.
Yeah, Hastings got us in that one.
I just remember because then they got us.
Oi.
Yo, we played them in the top four final and then they got us in there.
Yeah, it's always them or Hamilton there. Like, always get the boys there.
They were solid, eh?
And then my year 13 year was pretty average year, but it was like, it was pretty broken up because of COVID.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so we didn't really get much opportunities to play.
Hard.
And like we always had to play like an empty crowd. Yeah. It was kind of tough. It's
Orcs as well. Eh?
Yo, running out and like you hear yourself breathing.
Someone gets a try. Yeah.
Yo, like, me.
Did you have a routine, bro, at school? Like year 11, year 12 is kind of, it's out of a year. Because like stepping stones are kind of weird, eh? Like year 13, you kind of automatically makes you a leader kind of in the squad.
Yeah.
And especially at school, which is kind of weird. But you want that to be like your penultimate and like strong final year. But it was Orcs, bro. It was like a COVID year. It was hard to snap out that last year.
Yeah, because like you kind of didn't really know what was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because like it kind of felt like you were training for the hope of a game.
Yeah.
It was like pretty hard to get into a routine and stuff, always at home.
Hard.
So I think it was kind of like, it was a real weird situation in that last year.
Did you guys get to do like a Hurricanes 18s or anything?
Last year, we did in year 12. I don't think we got to.
Oh, true.
Oh no, they actually did. Yeah, they did select the Hurricanes 18s camp. I didn't make that one.
In the last year,
nah.
Far out of it.
Yeah.
So just look in your cameras and say what happened. See, what was your transition then? Like it was like finishing up. Because everyone knows like the journey wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And it's like out of a journey and you had to work and work for that one.
Yeah.
Especially coming from like Palmy and Manawatu where the pool's a little bit smaller and you gotta like, fight for your position. What was it like, bro, going out of year 13? I mean that weird one, I fully thought you made Hurricanes 18s.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw your name on the list weirdly as well, so that kind of confused me. But yeah, what was it like, bro? Like transitioning out from school and then, you know, trying to find your way around like Turbo's Academy and stuff like that?
I'd say it was like a, like almost like a long shot. Like that's what it felt like. Because coming out of year 13, we had like these first 15 reviews with the coaches, and I just hit up Lefemi and I was like, what do you reckon were like my biggest work on this? And he goes, all he did is just told me was to just work pretty much. Just put your head down, work. Like you got your family and all these like, not distractions, but things going on in the background. But like that's what makes us who we are. Like you just got to be willing to work. And I think the biggest work on he told me throughout the off season was just run.
Yeah.
So like transitioning from year 12 to 13, I kind of knew like, oh, this is my last year. It's my last year to make, to like try and pursue a career in rugby. And I was like, just cushioning myself. I was like how bad do I like, do I really want to make this a career? Well, if I do, then I got to like put all my like eggs into this 1 year. And going from year 12, I was like, I like blew up a bit from year 11. I think I got to like 160 kgs. And that's when I had the review of Muffs, and he was like, you just gotta run, like whatever you eat or whatever, you just gotta run.
Kongai is too good.
Yo, bro, I was like, too much kongai, man. But yo, he's just busy, just said, get on the roads, get on the field.
Man.
I was like, oh, yo, see, he told me the story about Nemea Tialata, about how when he was coming and he was like top try scorer, like the Jock Hobbs tournament. And then since then he got signed to the Lions, signed to the Canes, and became an All Black.
Yeah.
They're like, their message was pretty inspiring. I like screenshotted it, looked at it every day before I went to training.
Solid.
Went for a run. And then in the year 13, I didn't make the Canes 18s, but our academy manager at the time, he said that he saw potential. Solid. So he wanted to give me like a training trial at the academy.
Yeah.
My last year.
And this is Manawatu?
Yeah, Manawatu. Yeah, Manawatu Academy. And then went in like late November or something, and then went into like the 6 a.m.s, the 5:30 a.m.s with my boys. They were already in the academy. Just done training with them, just went my hardest, and I think they just liked what they saw. And then from then, just played the academy games. Lucky enough to make the Hurricanes 20s trials and stuff, and then got into the teams for both years. So I think just, I think the biggest thing was just that work.
Just staying on it.
Yeah.
Bro, that's crazy, not making 18s and then playing 20s. Both years,
yeah,
and going into academy like that, whoever the recruitment coach was, but that's some faith, you know, like in you. So you obviously saw, bro, you saw like what you could do, and what you were capable of. What was that like, you know, knowing that someone believed in you like that?
Bro, it was probably the best thing that could happen to me, I reckon. Like, and it just like showed me how much he cared.
Yeah,
like I think that's the biggest thing that people forget. Like sometimes when you're trying to recruit stuff, was like the players actually like the players are people, not like just rugby players. So I think when people like care about you and actually want you to strive better for the future, it makes you push harder because it gives you a stronger why. And it was like as a kid coming out of school, I was like, bro, that's the best feeling. Like just someone actually believes in me. So I was like, oh, I'm not gonna waste that belief. Like I'm gonna show them that he's right.
Hard. Was with any of the other boys, like we obviously got our Gordo boys, we got Bryn and Leo Gordon and stuff like that. Were they in was Bryno in that one as well?
Yeah, Bryn was in academy that year.
And Leo would have still been at Palmy Boys there.
Yeah, would have still been at Palmy Boys. Yeah.
All right, that's solid. What other boys were in academy, bro? Like, oh, how many are in that Manawatu Academy?
I think each year they like pick like a group of 10 maybe.
Oh, yeah.
10 to 15 maybe. It felt like a pretty big crew when I was coming out of school because they were like the seniors from the year before.
Oh, yeah.
In my school, and like a few boys from Philly. And then coming out of my year, I think there were like 5 of us from Palmy Boys.
Yeah.
They went into the program.
So you're all your boys. Like
It was pretty much all my boys.
And what was the routine like, bro? Like 5 a.m.s, 6 a.m.s?
Yeah. We had like a 5:30 crew.
Dang.
Go in there. You just do your running, like speed on Mondays, and then lowers, fitness on Tuesday mornings, and then uppers, and then you just repeat the same on Thursday and Friday.
Wow.
Club. Yeah, and just have club on the Saturday. So you had the Wednesday off, which is pretty cool, and then just the Sunday off as well.
That's hectic, eh? So what were you doing off that, bro? Were you working? And
I started at my uncle's. Like my uncle's meat factory.
Mean.
So I was like working out there, just like stacking solid boxes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like I kind of didn't want to just keep showing up to training. So I looked for like a teacher aiding job.
Was it quite physically demanding?
Yeah, like just like picking up like heavy, like 20-30 kg boxes.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so we were doing that, like factory work, and then me and the boys were talking to our PD manager, Mano, too.
Yeah.
And then she got us a good get a few primary schools just as teacher aides, just working with kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I had little siblings, so I was like, oh, this should be like, I should be like, find this kind of relatable to my lifestyle. So,
Yeah. It's out of it. It's an out of it time, eh, bro? Like, most of the time, there's only two ways. It's either the workforce or study.
Yeah.
What was it like trying to balance, you know, working and then going to training? Because that's a tiring part of your life.
Yeah. I think I was pretty lazy, to be honest. Yeah. At the time, I didn't like value at the time like the workforce, like it's like the regular like 9 to 5 or something. Because going into year 13, all my eggs were into rugby.
Yeah.
So I think I carried that habit into working and stuff. Like I have a lot more appreciation for it now, especially seeing like how my siblings are at work, my cousins, my aunties, my parents. And I think just dealing with all the like time management.
Yeah.
Bro, my time management was trash when I went to work, to be honest. I think just because I was like so focused into rugby.
Yeah, fair enough. What was it like then when you start playing club? What was it, the old boys club that you were playing for as well?
Nah, I switched clubs because my mate's old man, he was coaching at Freiburg.
Oh yeah.
So we all went to a club called Freiburg Old Boys. We played there for a few years, and then last year I switched over to Kia's Kia Tor, where some of my best mates were playing.
Sure. Bro, what's this club scene like down there? How big's the kind of the Prem's club competition?
It's pretty small. There's only like eight or seven teams. Yeah. There's not many teams. We like get like two rounds and then like knock off footy.
Two rounds, knock off footy. Bro, you must know everyone, eh? And every team, bro, eh?
Yeah, nah, rugby, everyone in rugby knows everyone over there.
Yeah, does dad still get quite involved in some stuff, or is he just
sometimes? Yeah. Just like most of it was like with the Mano 2 old boy stuff
that he came to.
Just because the cause I didn't play for Maris, and he was a Maris boy, so it wasn't really much Maris. Like he didn't really get involved in the Maris stuff because I was always at either Freiburg or Kia Tor.
Bro, let's talk about your introduction to MPC then, bro. How did it come ahead, and when did you get that first text or call?
I first got told that I was getting signed. The week I was leaving to the Canes 20s tourney.
Yeah.
Just before they left, they just told me that they're keen to sign me for the next 2 years. And I didn't like, they wanted me to focus on the tourney and I wanted to focus on the tourney as well. So I didn't really tell anyone.
Me.
And then done the tourney, came back with my parents and we were staying at a accommodation. And then we got a feed and I was just telling them, I just showed them my phone. I was like, oh, can you look at this? They're like, oh, what's this? I was like, oh, the Mono 2 offered me a contract. And my dad was like, huh? He goes, what? And I was like, oh, Mono 2 offered me a contract. And my little brother Ace in the background is like, yo, your shout. I was like, mate, you still got your parents here to pay for your food. And then the year after, we're heading into preseason with Mono 2. Played the preseason against Bay Plenty. But I just in the club scene before NPC, I dislocated my shoulder. So I was out probably for like a month before NPC started.
Oh man.
Yo.
You had to do a recon, did you?
Yeah, I done a recon like a year ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. But it all started from that niggle injury. 2 years ago, yeah. So I dislocated my shoulder, done like 4 weeks rehab, came back for the preseason games, and then I think they just liked how I played, so they just named me to start my debut. Debuted with Raymond as well, so that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, that photo is cool, bro.
Yeah,
you guys in that debut.
One of my boys from school.
Who'd you guys debut against?
Lions, Wellington.
Yeah. Oh, bro, all those boys as well.
Bro, yeah. I was pretty, I was sacking it,
eh? Oh, hey.
It was my debut, and then I was lining up against Xavier Numia.
Oh, dude.
And I saw on their lineup, it said 50th cap. I was like, why is this 50th game against me, man? I'm going to get bummed.
How old is he, Xavier Numia? He must not be that much older than us.
Yeah, I think he's still like 20s, mid-20s maybe. Right, yeah, man. So he's still pretty young.
How was that game?
Bro, it was it felt fast, eh? Like, I think the physicality was all good. It was just the speed. Going from first 15 to club. Bro, and then into NPC, and like we're running around, get to our line out, I was like puffing, looking around, everyone didn't look tired. I was like, is it me or am I cello right now?
Did Darius get to jam one or two with you guys?
Yeah. So he was me, him, I think see boys, me, him, and Raymond.
Yeah,
from Palmy Boys,
when you got that your first game. And you guys were jamming. What was it like looking across and actually like seeing Xavier Numia and all those guys? Because who else jams for Wellington? Like Riley Higgins and that would have been as well.
Yeah,
all those boys.
Yeah, so like I knew Riley and that, all the boys from 20s. So it was cool seeing them get their debuts as well.
Yeah,
but just seeing like all the Canes boys, it was pretty surreal. I was like, bro, like I used to watch these guys.
Yeah.
I was like, now I got to play them. Got to act like I'm not a fanboy or anything. Yeah. That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, it can be a full-time job then, eh? Yo. 2 years of doing that. Did you believe, bro, when you were there? Like, did you believe, like, look, I'm at NPC now. I'm established. Like, I can actually do this now, this whole gig, this rugby gig.
I'll be honest, at the start, it was pretty hard. It was, like, pretty hard to, like, back myself.
Right.
I think the coaches got into my ear the most about believing in myself. Because, like, they'll just explain to me, like, how they see me, where they see me in the team.
Yeah.
And I think that gave me the biggest confidence with my ability, especially like during the start of the season,
because
it was pretty hard. Because like obviously, coming from club, I was like, oh, I'm just a young, like I'm just a young island boy. Like I didn't even like rugby like a few years ago, and just seeing like how much of a big deal NPC was to me as a kid growing up.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that I was playing it. And like even like after kickoff on the field, I was playing footy. I was just trying to play footy, but I'm looking around like seeing the NPC logos and stuff, seeing like
Sky
the uniform.
Setups
I was just running out. I was like, bro, like, I can't believe like I'm actually doing this.
Hard.
And like so I think it was pretty hard to believe in myself, to be honest.
Yeah,
but I'm thankful that the coaches backed me as well.
Hard. And how many caps do you have for Manawatu now?
I think I'll like. 6 or 8, but I've been like injured.
So when did you do your reconstruction?
End of 2023.
Oh, okay.
Like December 2023.
And how long does that take you out for?
I was like 6 months out. Yeah, so I missed like half the club season. Came back and then, because I dislocated my first year. I dislocated my shoulder, put me out for like pretty much all of NPC in 2023 besides like the last 3 games, I think. And then last year, I injured my ankle like pretty bad in the preseason games. And I think I missed half the season, came back for like the last 3 games again. So it's been, pretty
heaps
tough.
Heaps of injuries coming back. So what do you have to do, bro, for like in rehab and fitness to stay fit and stuff? What kind of stuff were you doing in those injury times?
I think the biggest thing I try to do is control my eating.
Fair enough.
Like, just trying not to like eat heaps and like trying to get on the bike, whatever. Yeah. Knock out my rehab, like my rotator cuff shoulder rehab. When I done my ankle.
Was it rotator cuff?
It was. Nah, I popped out. I got a labrum, so like it kind of like popped out of the socket, like half out the socket.
Bro. Yeah,
had to like.
Yo, was that sore ass?
Bro, I was so dramatic, eh?
Bro.
Slowly, I was dramatic as when I like done. I was like, ah, far out. In my head, I was like, my rugby season's over. They're like, oh, I'll probably be like 4 week recovery. I was like, oh.
A sweet.
Okay. I wiped my tears.
Damn. Oh, bro, that's crazy. Yeah. So you go through all that, get through your. And so you recover halfway through last season from your ankle.
Yeah.
And you get there and you play some games at the end for last year?
Yeah.
What did you jam last year for Turbos?
Yeah.
So I
probably got the last 3 games.
Jammed the last 3 games for the Turbos going through there. When did Moana kind of step into the picture for you?
I'd say like around October. They just, because we got a connection through our minor analyst Ian. He's from 102, and the coaches were watching just watching some NPC games, and they saw. I think they watched the last three NPC games.
Yeah.
And our scrum coach was just saying he like thought I was someone else that they were looking at, and then they were looking at him, and then they're like, oh no, this is a different kid, and then because we were both Tongan. He was like, oh, sorry, I thought you were the other guy. And then they're like, oh, no, this is a different kid. So they looked at him, and then they realized that when I started playing, that I was like a different player.
Oh, okay.
So then they started looking at my games, and then they're like, oh, where's, like, then they hit up Ian, the 102 guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, who's this? And they're like, oh, obviously they just introduced who I am and stuff. And then they told him to hit me up, what I'm up to after the season.
Yeah.
I was like, because I was talking to my agent about like heading over to MLR.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's nothing super is coming.
All right.
I might head over to MLR just to experience that kind of footy.
Yeah, travel.
Yeah, get the travel, see the world. And Ian messaged me. He's like, oh, what are you up to after the season? I was like, oh, not much, just this and that. Told him the story. And he just said, oh, like, I think Moana's going to be in touch with your agent. And then, yeah, my agent called me. And then... Kev Senior from Moana, their pathways manager, he called me, just asked if I was keen. I was like, yeah, hard. Like, I'll be keen to come up. Because I've always wanted to play Super Rugby.
Yeah.
And after that, we just sorted out the contract, like the development contract and stuff. And then moved up, like, November. Yeah.
For the whole off season.
Yeah.
Bro, mate.
Yeah.
Straight to Devonport?
Yeah, straight to Devonport.
All right. So, yeah. Oh man, that would have been mean, eh? Three games, bro. It's all, bro. The timing's crazy. Eh? You talked about in your first 15, year 12 or year 11. You said, you know, a couple guys chase different opportunities. You go through there, don't make 18s, but the timing of that pathways manager for academy, trusting and believing in you, get your opportunity, work hard, play club, get picked up. Obviously, we're already in the academy, going to NPC.
Yeah.
Now, Ian and the pathways manager talking. End up talking about you, get yourself in the conversation. Now you've got a development contract.
Yeah.
Bro, it's crazy, bro. The timing's just come right, for all three, three events, bro. It's been insane.
God's timing, man.
Yeah, bro, hard. That's crazy. So when you moved up, bro, what was it like? Like knowing you're going to be in the Super Rugby environment?
I was excited as a, I was pretty wrapped and like, I didn't know what the plans were after preseason. Because the development contract was just like, guaranteed you're here for preseason and whatever happens after that.
Oh, right. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Far out, bro. So you just had to grind out that whole preseason. Yeah.
Like it was pretty like eye opening because my first time home, like moving out of home.
Yeah.
And like just seeing all my fams leave on that first day that I was here, I was like almost shed a tear. And I was I gotta take this opportunity with both fans, man. Like my parents traveled all the way up, helped me set up, bought me like beddings and stuff. They all helped me get here. Like I can't waste all the time and effort. So I was like,
100%.
Yeah, I'd say even that point was like the most I've locked in. I've been like going into a rugby team.
What was the off season like then, bro? Was it crazy?
Bro, we started off with a pre-season, so it was no rugby, like just running and gym. But that was probably pretty tough. Like the boys I was doing it with, like most running I've done, like just straight, like I think the most volume of running I've done, like just like the amount of running and the intensity. I was like, bro, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, but watching you run the ball this year, you can definitely tell the difference. Like, do you feel a lot more like lean and mobile with ball running this year?
Yeah, I think like rugby fitness wise, I think this is the best I've felt.
Yeah.
Because of the last few years of injury, I'd come back and like just trying to be like fit enough.
Yeah.
I think that pre-season block really helped with just like being more than just fit enough.
What was like the hardest session? Do you remember like what drill you did that just absolutely?
Bro, I think after like we were like doing like 300, like we'd do like 300s.
Oh,
like,
heck no.
30-second rest, 200s or whatever, and then 100s. It'd be like three blocks of that, and like usually it's like the rest is like 2 minutes. Or like back in Manitou, like I'm used to like rest for 2 minutes and you go into the next block.
Yeah.
The rest, he was like, yeah, jog around the field. I was like, hey? He's like, yeah, your rest, jog around the field. Bro, we were jogging. I was like, do I want to be?
So 300, jog around the field.
Yeah.
200, jog around the field.
Yeah, like pretty much. And then Bro, and then after that jog, we got to the line. He was like, yo, 30 second rest. And then we're going into bear crawls. Oh, bro.
Did you shred much weight over that pre-season?
Yeah, I think I lost like just over 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy heck, that's not even, that's like what, 3-4 weeks?
Yeah. Like dang, a month, bro. Like a month. Yeah.
That's crazy, yeah. Especially for that amount of work, bro.
Yeah.
So what'd you, is that four days a week in that training?
Yeah, 4 days a week, Wednesday off.
How many boys from Wana were in there for that pre-season?
Quite a few. I think just all the boys that went at PNC, like the playing for the island teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Missy was there, Miracle, Offer, yeah, all those boys were there.
Man, far out. Yeah, so Missy's had a cool story as well. Eh?
Yeah, he's had an unreal journey, man.
Going in from there and then obviously having a shift towards kind of the actually preseason and off season and stuff. What was the conversations like? You know, did you get kind of communicated with going throughout to like keep you updated on how they're looking at you and how you're tracking in that preseason?
We just have like one-on-ones and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't really like kind of focus on where they see me. I was kind of more focused on how much can they teach me or like how much I can learn.
Yeah, that's the one.
And I was just trying to like do a lot of work with our scrum coach and stuff, and
yeah,
just trying to involve all the areas of my game rather than just like focus on one and then focus on the other. But I think because going into preseason, I was like expecting to be playing club and working around this time of the year, just because I saw the quality of front rows they had. I was just being lucky enough to blessed with the opportunity to play. Yes, and so, like, it's been
that's the thing, eh? Once the opportunity comes, just take it, eh?
Yeah.
What was your debut game like, bro? Talk to us on your debut game.
I was like, because we were playing over in Perth.
Yeah.
Like 4:30, like peak sunlight, bro. And it was like, I think the average over there was like 35. Where we were all walking around sweaty.
In a sauna, eh?
Yeah. Where we ran out to the field. I think it was like, I looked at the time, it was like 16 or 15. Felt like I'd played 40 minutes already. I was like dragging myself. And like, it was hot as, but it wasn't the rugby stuff that was hard. It was just the speed and intent and like the physicality.
Yeah.
And like, it just felt like I was just like my NPC debut again. Like I was just looking around, everyone's going hard while I'm like dead. I'm like, I got to step it up.
Yeah. But that's sick though. I think one of the out of it things as well, like, you know, Artie's there.
Yeah.
All these guys that are there that, you know, a lot of people, you're just like, it would be pretty hard to kind of just like ground yourself and understand that, like, man, I'm here. Like, you know, just got to grind out. What was it like when you're like sweating in the trenches and then you look down and Artie's just smoked someone over the rock or something like that?
Bro, it was surreal, eh? Bro, it was an unreal feeling. I didn't sink in like in the debut.
Yeah.
Bro, I was like still buzzing out like all the boys that I was playing with.
Mm.
And I think it wasn't until like I was like messaging my little brother Ace, and I was like, bro, like, remember when we used to watch these guys? And he was like, bro, this is gun.
Yeah.
We just like buzzing out, being fanboys on our messages and stuff. But
it's
sunk in now. Like all the boys just feel like the boys, and it's easier to like go to work and just be there all for the same goal.
How's your like physical and mental health been, bro, since you've started this whole professional journey as a professional athlete now? You know, full time in, you know, the Super Rugby environment.
It's been a journey. Just learning how professionals do it. With the mental space, just like always staying on, whether I'm selected or not. I think that's been one of the biggest learnings.
Yeah.
You see all the best in the world, whether they're playing or selected or not, they always prepare the same, like exact same.
Yeah.
Prepare to be the best, and I think that's the biggest learning I've taken out of that on the mental side. Just always staying on. Like,
yeah,
this is your life. This is what you chose. This is your privilege. Like, this is what you got to do.
Mm.
And physical, the body's been sore, but it's been good because like we've been blessed with like recovery centers and specialists, like therapists, masseuses and stuff. Mm. So it's been new getting used to like the physicality and stuff, but blessed with all the recovery side of things as well.
How much are you enjoying it, bro? Just being in the environment.
Oh, loving it, eh? Yeah. Bro, I'm beyond blessed to be here, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This is definitely the dream job, bro. I wouldn't want to. I don't want to retire.
Yeah, dude, that's the one. Well, let's go through that Waratahs game then, bro. Like, far out. You're a ball running to the max, especially like that. Was the first one or no? Yeah, the second was the, what was the first one? The Messi try, off the offload.
That was the
second one. Try, yeah, like that one. You ran like a mint line there for that offload. And stuff like that. But where do you think your forms come from, bro? Like for this year.
I think I've noticed the biggest shift when I started to, like, rely less on myself and more on God.
Yeah.
Like my faith growing up, obviously I've talked about how my faith's been like the biggest driver, but I didn't really start to lean on like solely on Him until like probably a few weeks into the season.
Yeah.
And like just like whatever, like trusting that whatever happens, it's like it's His plan, not mine. So whatever I plan, like I'm grateful for whatever happens. But if His plan like succeeds over mine, it's like I'm grateful for and I think hand in hand with that, like getting my routine sorted. I'm trying to like base my routine around God as well, just like you know, keeping Him involved in my day and like my Bible time and stuff. I think that's the biggest driver, like just, going back to my faith.
So solid. That's mean, eh? And I think the just the backbone as well, eh? You train, you've got Him at the backbone of everything you do.
Yeah.
And at the center of, all your activity, whether it's on or off the field.
Yeah.
Is that what it does for you as well? It gives you that strong base for everything you do. At least you trust in Him along all your decisions and actions on or off the field.
Yeah, yeah. So, He's definitely the backbone. He's, we always hear it, God is our rock.
Yeah.
So, He's immovable.
Whatever
He plans, it's gonna happen. So, I think it's really reassuring that, you're not in control of your own life. Because if I was in control of my own life, everything would be in shambles, to be honest. So, I'm glad that, there's a power above me that's controlling my life. So, I didn't got to worry about anything, to be honest.
Solidus. Now that you're here, you're progressing throughout your career now and you're just building bases to go on. What are some goals you have set, bro? And if they're private, don't mention, but like a ballpark of what are some goals you have set for you in your personal development?
I say a goal I've always had, me and my brother have had, is the one we've playing professional footy together. Yeah. I think that's always been in the back of my mind. But I think personally, just being one of the best tight heads in the world, if not the best. I think it's kind of it can be scary, trying to think of that as a goal just because of what it takes to get there. But I think the more that I try to own it, and the more I can embrace it and actually work towards it. It's been a journey, trying to actually take that and own it. But coming up, seeing what all the best do in my team and the Super Rugby comp, they all the best back themselves.
Hard.
All the best, they prepare the best. So I think that's the only way to go forward.
Yeah, it's just a thought as well. People always say they don't want to reach too far, but it's always just a thought unless you lock in and write it down, eh?
Yeah.
And actually set it in stone. Look, I want to be the best tight head in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, you can, and 100%, bro, especially in the runnings for what you're doing now and how young you are. And considering you've been injured for the past 2 years, bro, you're building, a strong base to, carry on and actually build a strong foundation for a long career, eh, this year with what's happening with Moana. So, not only proud, but it's gangster, bro. It's fun. It's good to see all the boys, eh? Yeah. Especially just on Insta when you, because it's crazy watching all the boys. Darius, when I saw on Instagram and I saw him at Two Blues, I was like, far out. I thought he was still here as well.
Yeah.
And then we obviously have mutuals like Leo, the Gordon boys, Ruben Love and all those guys, bro. Yeah. It's crazy watching all the boys succeed, and it's crazy that we had a tradition of doing billeting once upon a time. Ew. Even though you guys took me to Annabelle for a bloody billet night. So they don't know what kind of guys took me to Annabelle for, and we had Maccas at like 11 the night before. So
the OG carbloads, oh, man. Yeah. Pizza, Big
yeah,
Mac.
Yeah, pizza. Oh, bro. That's right. I remember, I think it was you and Darius's family, where they just kept bringing in the Pizza Hut.
Yo.
And we had like all the fizzies and stuff.
I don't know what we're up to, but bro.
That's probably why we were dead the next day. Other things for the future, bro. What plans do you have, like career-wise, post-footy? Have you thought of anything like that yet, or still in the making?
Yeah, I think the goal after footy was just to have my own business.
Mean.
Don't really know what it looks like. Yeah, just still on that journey. Solid. But me and a few of the boys and even my brother have shown interest in like our creative side.
Yeah.
Art, like clothing and stuff.
Mean.
All that kind of stuff.
Oh, solid.
Yeah, so we're like working on that, but yeah, that's at the back of our
yeah, it's solid. Bro, that's yeah. mean, bro. That creative side's solid. Especially Ace, like ASAV had all this stuff that he was doing. It's cool watching union boys kind of jamming that side, the creative space, because you go to across the ditch to league and stuff.
Yeah.
Bro, they've been jamming that stuff for years now. Yeah. So to watch the union boys kind of switch style and start doing stuff like that, it's important to see, bro.
Yeah.
We'll go into some of quickfire questions and fan questions now, bro. Start closing it off. What's your favorite stadium to play at, bro?
It has to be the Boneyard, man. Manawatu.
Yeah.
CET.
Is that what they call it? The Boneyard?
Yeah, it's called the Boneyard. Yeah.
Tough. That's gangster. Yeah. Who's your funniest teammate?
Oof. Darius.
Hey.
Yeah, growing up it was Darius, but I think in the team right now, probably have to be either Simisi or Maka. It's funny just looking at their faces.
Nah, Darius is pretty great. He's got some bands, dude. He's funny.
He's cracker, man.
Three songs. So before a game, bro, your playlist. What three songs will you pick before a game?
This year I've been jamming I Believe by Yolanda Adams.
Yeah.
From the movie Honey.
Yeah.
That always gets me up.
I believe. That's a solid song.
Bust out my dance moves.
Also, was that the song you were listening to that I posted? Was that the one on you, when you were in the tunnel?
Bro, when I was Fuego Chicken. Yeah. Another one would be Say Yes. When Jesus Says Yes.
Oh yeah. Beyonce.
Third one. It's been like a mix between like Afro beats and like
Burna Boy stuff.
Kind of stuff. So
I've seen you jam Burna Boy a fair bit.
Yeah.
As gangster. Toughest player you've had to mark to date.
Scrumming wise, I'd say Josh Fusatua.
Hey. Yeah,
because that Blues 20s, bro, he was tough then. True. We played a couple of weeks ago, he's still tough, but he's still strong. So big ups to him, man. Yeah.
Bro, he's the man, bro. He's nice. Yeah. Bro, he was a youth leader, bro, if you didn't know.
Oh, true.
Yeah, he was a youth leader, bro, for Life Church here, bro.
Yeah.
So you should have, I'm pretty sure he still goes to church now. You should hit him up if you get the time. Yeah, he's the man. Him and Sione Ahil's story, real similar to yours, bro. They just grind and then found their niche and made it over to obviously Chiefs for Ahil and Blues for Fuss.
Yeah,
they're gangster guys as well, bro. You should hurt them up wanted to do something like that.
That's cool to hear, man.
All right, and then you've been given a free dinner with the option of choosing three guests, bro. Any guests, dead or alive, who are you choosing?
First one, big obvious one, I'd say Jesus.
Oh, what?
Yeah, always one of the. In person talk of him would be unreal. And the other two guests, I'd say I'd have to do two most important people in my life, my parents. Having them there, especially with Jesus I'd sit there forever.
Yeah. That's a good answer. It's a great answer. All right, we'll go over to fan questions, bro. First one by our boy Leo Gordon. What's your go-to post-match feed?
$39 meal at BK. You get six burgers, like I think like four drinks and like
$39. What? Yeah. Six burgers?
Yeah. Bro. It's been unreal. Like, me and my brother have been jamming it the last few weeks.
You can eat six burgers.
Yeah.
Actual?
We get three.
Oh, dude, what the hell?
This shit my pictures.
Is that the meal though?
Yeah.
Nah, BK's is actually ultra underrated, I reckon.
Yeah.
BK. Dang. Six burgers is crazy though. Well, right. Next one by Oscar Keller. Does he know whether or not this was the first prop trick in Super Rugby history?
Hey, this guy, he replied to my story saying, prop chick is crazy. Like, bro, the word prop chick is crazy. Nah, but I didn't know, eh? Like,
is there any stat? I'm not sure if there's a stat line to even see that. I'm not sure, eh?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I reckon it could be.
Yeah.
Pretty high chance.
Yeah.
You should claim it, seen it. You should get a WWE bat and put Fritz prop chick on carry that around.
Carry it around.
One of those was Cedric Telsinger, who does Let's Talk Sports on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
He said, who's helped you most on your journey? Love your work also.
Oh, shout also. I'd say the biggest helper would have been my dad, definitely. Just like instilling that work ethic early. Yo, I don't think I'd be here without that. Yo.
Next one, Josh Goodall, your favorite memory playing with the Manawatu Turbos?
I'd have two. My debut, just because I got to debut with one of my best mates, and my first dub in the jersey against Southland, against Semisi.
Solid. Oh, was that playing Messi as well? Yeah. Dang, solid. Next one, I'll let you guess. Why the hell was he 160 kgs in school?
Is it my brother? Yo. Hey. Solid.
And then he said, he needs a hiding.
Oh, fair. I'm going to see him this week. I'm going to go mad.
We got the next one, the body paint guy. He said, what should I be painting myself this weekend? We should actually make him choose something so he can he'll do it as well. It has to be wrestling related because WrestleMania just finished, surely.
Oh, he's just done The Rock, eh?
Yo.
Roman Reigns.
Oh, make him Tribal Chief.
Yo, Tribal Chief was, yo.
Body paint guy. You gotta be Tribal Chief this weekend. Yo. We're gonna try and run some content with him, so hopefully
he actually does it. Sick,
I'll buy your wig if you have to. We got Tito Tuipolo too. What are your key points this week on D?
Bro, we had a meeting and Tana asked me one of the key points and I got it wrong. Eh?
Oh, all the
boys all the boys are cracking.
What a sad. Just
tell Tito that he's bedessive.
You heard that, Teets? Xavier Saifoloi, why do you get called Mr. Waves?
Oh, sorry. that guy, Ultimate Waves guy. So he's like his hairstyle.
Oh.
Bro, that guy's Ultimate Waves.
Like, hey.
I don't know if he do regs it anymore, but like, because he was at, we were at Barbas together.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Terama, Ruben, one of the other boys, they used to always call each other Waves.
Oh, were you in the black team?
Barbas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right. Those guys. They used to call each other Waves. I was like, hey, you guys are not Waves.
But they're both trying to do the Waves things.
But they try to feel Waves, guys.
So they just constantly. Then the last one by Anonymous. Crazy. Single or what?
I'm happily in a relationship with God.
Oh!
Sorry, I'm not available.
Oh my gosh. It was a burner, G.
Oi.
Yeah, it was a burner, so.
That's probably one of the
it's
boys.
It's God, G. It must be God. Oh, sweetest, what a potty. Again, thanks to our headline sponsor, Freedom Internet, for your work for us and everyone behind the scenes to help us do things like this, especially getting the also on the potty. Thank you for jumping on the potty, Us. Bro, we're proud, like ultra proud as one of the boys and also a supporter of you and Moana and your guys' journey going on and paving a path for all of us. Thanks for taking us to Annabelle pre-game day. That's crazy. Yeah, bro, we're proud. Just stay locked in, Us, and keep leading the way for Young Pacifica. And yeah, we pray for a long, strong, and fulfilling career for you, Us. That's session 6. Thanks for tuning into the Hurt Locker. So leave everyone with a great message, Us. Leave them with some strong words.
Jesus loves you.
I love that.